This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free. Yes, it is time for the Insider Report here on Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186, online anytime at thefightnetwork.com. Without a doubt, one of the hardest working men in combat sports. Not only the brains behind JerryPark.com and all those great interviews, but now also associated with MMArated.com. He's the always informative Ariel Helwani joining us here on Fight Network Radio. Ariel, how are you?
Morrow, my man. Great to be back with you. Awesome. I'm doing great. How's everything with you?
I'm doing very, very well. It's actually nice to put in a full week of radio shows. I've been hearing through the grapevine that, you know, Pollock's been eyeing this chair on a permanent position, so I had to come back to fight for my job here.
Who wouldn't be eyeing that chair? I mean, that's the most coveted seat in combat sports right now.
Well, you're very, very kind. What about the breaking story from our friends at SureDog.com? We'll always do a great job about this Fyodor Emelianenko-Tim Sylvia fight set for July 19th in Dallas, Texas. Again, according to the story, it looks like it's going to be promoted by the Affliction brand, and it could possibly air on HDNet. So Fyodor and Sylvia on on kind of a neutral footing, so to speak, because neutral ground, and not UFC, not IFL, not even Elite XC. It's one of these upstarts. What do you think about this possible confrontation?
Very interesting. It's like you look back 3 months ago, and if actually less than 3 months ago, if Sylvia would have defeated Minotauro, the whole landscape of this, you know, heavyweight division outside of the UFC would have been completely different, because obviously he would have then been the UFC heavyweight champion. The UFC would have had to have re-signed him, and then he wouldn't have been able to go out and be a free agent. But now Fedor finally gets to fight a viable component. I mean, opponent. Excuse me. I mean, no disrespect to Hangman Choi, but not exactly a top 10 heavyweight contender, the likes that should be in a ring with Fedor. And of the other free agents out there, the only one that I could really think that would be interesting for Fedor to fight would be Josh Barnett.
Definitely.
And I mean, World Victory Road. Who knows what's their situation? So this is actually very exciting and great for. It's great for Adrenaline MMA, Affliction, all these people to actually be putting on a card, because you always hear about everyone saying, oh, you know, M1 Global, they're a viable, you know, promotion to go work for. Well, they haven't really put on anything since, you know, having that press conference in October that you attended in New York.
Right.
So it's great to actually have something now to talk about and actually a really intriguing main event.
And while Tim Sylvia has been signed to an Adrenaline MMA contract, this, according to the report on SureDog.com, is allegedly going to be or ostensibly promoted by Affliction, the clothing brand, which, of course, has many close ties to MMA. In fact, I'm wearing one of my many Affliction shirts that I was given right now. So they have definitely become a ubiquitous force in mixed martial arts. And it's going to be interesting to see if, of course, they are able to pull it off. And you're right. If the Tim Sylvia who fought Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira shows up to fight Fyodor, it'll be a very viable test for the last Russian emperor. I've, of course, been critical of Tim Sylvia in the past, but because of the fact he's so big and does have so much power that I wanted to see a little more intensity and aggression out of him. And we saw that against Nogueira. He had a tremendous game plan, but again, against a submission magician like Nogueira, you have to go the full five rounds, and he was caught with a submission. But definitely a more intriguing matchup, like you say, with all apologies to the Hangman Choi's of the world, than something that, you know, Adrenaline MMA is serving up for its first show in. When is the first show set for Adrenaline? Is it May? Or
well, they said that I heard that June they wanted to have one in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. In June, yeah, with Mike Russo and Jeff Monson. And again, all apologies to those two, but not exactly a marquee main event. Anyway, let's move on, Ariel. I wanted to talk to you about the fallout from what was a very good, I thought, WrestleMania with an incredible Monday Night Raw to follow up, including, of course, the Raw Ric Flair segment, the farewell, which was one of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Unfortunately, WWE holding true to its, you know, it's kind of a track record where after such an incredible night of action and you know, those incredible moments that you remember forever, I thought two very lackluster SmackDowns and Raws back-to-back this week.
Totally missable shows. I didn't find anything interesting. The most exciting shows for me are the ones always after WrestleMania, and I think for most fans as well. You think back to, you know, new stars debuting and new storylines getting started, and really, I mean, nothing of note happening right now other than maybe Vladimir Kozlov beating Matt Bentley, but that's not exactly the type of debut that we were thinking about. But I will say, major props for the Shawn Michaels storyline. I was listening to you guys yesterday. It seemed as though you weren't a huge fan of the way they were laying the groundwork for it on Friday, and I'm interested in what you thought about yesterday's show, because I thought the promo between the two with Chris Jericho playing the role of host, very heated and very real. It reminded me of one of those angles from, you know, like the late 80s, even like the sort of rocker split up type of angle, where you really felt that these two guys actually had legitimate beef and they were playing off of the Ric Flair angle. Because for me, that was the main thing. How are you going to use Shawn Michaels as the guy who defeated Ric Flair? And that's why I thought it should have gone to one of the younger guys. Well, now I understand what they were doing, and I love what they're doing with him and Batista.
I admit I wasn't a fan of Friday's promo on SmackDown, the least of which, of course, you know, mentioning stuff that in when we're supposed to suspend, you know, disbelief, they go and say, well, it's, you know, a fake. You don't do jobs, you know. And I just saw Batista seemed very forced and just reading lines, it seemed like. But last night, conversely, total flip. I agree with you. That's the kind of promo I like to see. And I don't know if having Chris Jericho there to, you know, offset maybe Batista or whatever to be the in-between, the conduit, helped or not. But I was definitely impressed with both of their promos and the interaction last night. And you're right. I mean, if they have to make a business out of Ric Flair's retirement, and this is as good a way to go as any. And definitely I think it's now getting better. But definite misstep, I thought, last Friday.
I've never been a huge fan of the whole Batista gimmick, and I never really got into it, but this is actually one of the first ones. I mean, the angle with Umaga did nothing for me.
Nothing.
It felt like it was thrown together, but this is actually the first time that I see him as this big guy who's standing up for his friend, the weaker friend now, and, you know, he's putting his foot down. He's not doing all the stupid, like, screaming and jumping and flexing his muscles. Like, he's just calm, cool, but he's looking to make a point, and particularly loved when he walked out and he said, I've already done something about it, and I thought that was very powerful. Sean has this look on his face, and to me, right now, the best thing going in wrestling, that's TNA or WWE.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Last night, they definitely picked up some steam. What about this story that is coming out of Georgia, the house that was rented by four WWE developmental talents? The new owner found, they were renting, they found in the crawl space in the wall the box of growth hormone and steroids and a contract that I guess belongs to, now we know, thanks to WSB-TV in Atlanta, it's ECW wrestler Mike Knox. The WWE has confirmed to Fox affiliate in Atlanta that he's the only one remaining under contract with the company. Where do you see this story going? And is the mainstream press going to jump on it again and question the WWE wellness policy if guys still under contract obviously have in their possession? And he's denied it, so we're not, you know, calling Mike Knox guilty right now, but where there's smoke, there's fire. But someone's doing steroids and growth hormone that was living in that house.
Absolutely. Well, if it is Mike Knox, I would have to think that the mainstream media won't pick this story up. I think that even minorly interested wrestling fans don't even know who Mike Knox is, simply because he wrestles on ECW. So I don't think that some producer or someone like that working for ECW, or excuse me, for like a Fox News or someone, some other organization will pick it up, just because nothing really interesting has happened thus far. I will say that... I mean, how can you be so thoughtless and so careless to leave something like that? I mean, this is I mean, just your contract. Forget about
right.
the drugs and stuff like that. To leave some sort of, you know, document that has to do with your employment, and then to leave the drugs. And I mean, I don't know about you, Mauro, and you've been around this sport a lot longer than I have. But it's the wellness policy and all the stuff that they said following, you know, trying to clean it up and the great thing that they've done. I've really, to me, that's just been, you know, extra words on my screen when I'm looking through articles. I've really never believed that anything big has happened or any. I don't see any different figures. I don't see any different builds. Maybe in OVW or Florida Championship Wrestling, it's a different case. But on television, I still see those big guys out there. I still see guys who I would never see in any other sport or entertainment field. So a story like this just doesn't surprise me. It surprises me that someone could be so stupid.
Well, and you said it. I've been around the business a long time, and that's why, to tell you the truth, I'm not so surprised that someone would be so careless. It's amazing at times what again, mind-altered people do crazy things. And again, I'm not, you know, accusing Mike Knox at this stage. He's just a name that's been linked with this story, and hopefully we'll find out more. But Ariel, it's always a pleasure. MMArated.com, we're winding things out in one sentence or less. Tell us about MMArated.com and why we should go to that website.
MMArated.com, a new venture from Sportnet, which is a Wasserman Media Group property. We're going to revolutionize MMA, Mauro, and I'm not just saying that. You know that if I put my name attached to something, it's something really big, and I hope to be working with you guys and really giving this sport back to the fans and putting on a great product unlike any other site out there, other than the Fight Network.
Sounds good to me. That is JerryPark.com's and now MMArated.com's. Ariel Helwani. Ariel, always a pleasure, and thanks again for the kind words. Always appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, Mauro. Best of luck to you.
Yep, thank you. Ariel Helwani joining us here on the Insider Report. We're coming back with the man who was a co-creator of the UFC and is now involved with Yama Pit Fighting, Bob Marowitz, on the other side of the break. You are listening to Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186.
Change your attitude, buddy. Ask yes, what happened to this holy war. I wet y'all all with the holy water. Spray from the heckler. Catch order. Medic on the static. Chelsea.